Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Zechariah, chapter 11. Go to the book of Matthew. Turn back two books and you're there. Okay? Zechariah, chapter 11. Right before Matthew is Malachi, and before Malachi is Zechariah. Zechariah 11, verses 15 through 17. All right, here we go. And the Lord said unto me, take unto thee yet the instruments of a foolish shepherd. For lo, I will raise up a shepherd in the land, which shall not visit those that be cut off, neither shall seek the young one, nor heal that is broken, nor feed that standeth still, but he shall eat the flesh and of the fat, and tear their claws in pieces. Finish with me on verse 17. Ready? Woe to the idle shepherd that leaveth the flock. The sword shall be upon his arm and upon his right eye. His arm shall be clean dried, and his right eye shall be utterly darkened. And let's pray. Father, thank you. We sure do love you. Lord, this morning you were obviously here and again tonight. Thank you for our church. Thank you for the place that we meet. Thank you for all the plans. But Lord, would you do more than that for us? The church is not a building. The church is not pretty spaces. It is a group of people, a called out assembly. And God, would you preserve this church for many generations to come because of this service, please? Would you perpetuate your work in a special way? In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Tonight, I beg you for your attention. I don't often say this, but I'd prefer you not take notes. I prefer you listen. I can teach you more while you're not writing than you can while you're writing, I promise you. If you'll listen tonight as I preach, I think I can help you. I think I'll help our church. Part of my job as pastor is to protect my flock. Part of protection means you preach a preventive maintenance sermon so that later down the road when you hear something, you say, preacher said something about that. That's not quite right. I am not throwing a fit because I think there's something wrong in our church. Matter of fact, I think everything's going great. If it's not, don't tell me, amen. I think things are going well. But I feel like I need to throw a fit about the condition of things in our country, and especially amongst quote-unquote fundamental Baptists. I have lived long enough, and I guess I'm getting old enough, to see how influences have destroyed Baptist churches. I will fight with every fiber of my body to keep this church the way God intended. I don't care if it hair lips every dog in town. I don't care if every preacher in town hates my guts. I don't care if every preacher in the country hates my guts. We're going to follow what God said about building a church. Grace Baptist Church was not started to be amongst a fellowship. We started because that's what God said we should do. America, and this area especially, stand at a precipice tonight. That means on the edge of a cliff for us rednecks, amen? Hey, we're not hillbillies. We're Hill Williams. We're educated hillbillies, amen? We have Baptist churches all over the place that are no longer Baptists. Well, we won't call ourselves Baptists anymore. We'll just call ourselves a Bible church. That's called a church that's too ashamed of the word Baptist. You look on the sign, capital B, capital A, capital P, capital T, capital I, capital S, capital T, just the way it's supposed to be spelled. Say, why? Because I'm not ashamed of what I am. It wasn't John the Bible. It was John the Baptist. Everybody doing okay? All right, hang in there. If you're mad now, you're about ready to kill somebody. We have Baptist churches that have gone the way of denominationalism and gone the way of the community churches. We now have what are called independent Baptists that are what I call denominational Baptists. We have current Baptist churches in our country that are more denominational than the Southern Baptists were 70 years ago. We have current Baptist churches that go to the community churches to look at their buildings and design their buildings after the world and the community churches. It'll be a cold day where the booger man lives. You can tell your children where that is later. It'll be a cold day where the booger man lives before I go to a community church to find out how to decorate this church building. Everybody doing okay? We have Baptist preachers that are reading sermons from non-denominationalists and non-Baptists and using their materials in our churches. Here in Zechariah chapter 11, and let me say this with all the authority that I know how to say it, those are God's words. Those are not man's words. Zechariah did not write the book of Zechariah. God wrote it. Thy word, O Lord, is settled in heaven. It was written before the foundation of the world. Before Zechariah was even thought of, the book of Zechariah was written. These are not Zechariah's words. They are God's words. By the way, we've got Baptists out there all over the place saying, well, Zechariah says here, and David says here, and David and Zechariah didn't say it. These are God's words. God used them as secretaries to write it out word for word as it was written in heaven before God ever created this world. Everybody doing okay? There's a reason I said that. We'll get to that in a moment. Here in Zechariah 11, God uses some terminology, and you need not look at it. I'll rephrase it, not re-saying it in a different way. I'm just going to put it all together. He talks about shepherds. Shepherds are pastors. These are men of God. And shepherds who were foolish. Shepherds who refused to help young people. Shepherds who would not heal broken people. Shepherds who would not feed the weak. These shepherds ate well because of the flock that they had and set themselves up as an idol to their flocks. Look at your Bible at verse 17 once again. I've read this passage over and over and over again, and the day that this hit me, it was like a ton of bricks. It says, woe to the idle shepherds. Notice it does not say I-D-L-E, meaning lazy. It's I-D-O-L, as in idolatry. Come on. It's not talking about some lazy rascal. It's talking about some arrogant cuss that gets up and wants to be in front of God. Everybody doing okay? They want to lift themselves up to their flock and talk in God's stead to them and be God to them. The Bible often compares saved people to sheep. Now, listen to this statement. He often compares pastors as shepherds. We are to be the shepherd of the flock. And God uses the term sheep for people that are saved. This passage is a picture of God saying, look, there are going to be pastors who are pastoring God's people. They'll do it foolishly. They'll avoid the young people. They won't feed the herding. They will steal from the flock. They'll eat of the fatness of the flock and set themselves up as an idol to them. Lord, mercy. I want you to notice these aren't lost people. These are shepherds and saved people. They could not be sheep if they were lost people. These are saved people who have been led wrongly. These shepherds have used, abused, and took advantage of the flock of God. I will preach tonight to you, not for just our generation, but for generations to come. My goal is not just for November of 2013 for this sermon, but I want your children, your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren to be able to come to this church someday and have a man of God behind this pulpit preaching the same way. You see, I never want Grace Baptist Church to ever have a shepherd in the condition of Zechariah chapter 11. I don't think it's right for us to have a foolish shepherd. I don't think it's right for us to have a shepherd that lifts himself up as an idol to the people. In other words, we don't need a dictator, we need a man of God. Amen. I preach a sermon to you tonight called Watch Out for Idol Shepherds. By the way, I'm not resigning. I'm not going nowhere. You can move your membership easier than I can my furniture. You're stuck with me, like it or lump it, here we are. Amen. Number one, we will not use instruments of a foolish shepherd. Verse number 15 says, the Lord said unto me, take unto thee yet the instruments of a foolish shepherd. That's a very interesting word. The word instrument here in the Hebrew, you look it up in any dictionary, any Hebrew dictionary, the Hebrew word. That word instrument, listen to this. It means weapons, carriage, furniture, dress, and jewels. God said there's foolish shepherds who dress themselves up and doll themselves up and have all the fancy things, and that's all they have. Guess what? We don't have a fancy building. Got an old warehouse. Thank God. Say why? Listen to this statement. This means you have shepherds who are emphasizing things in God's house over having God's presence. Yes, sir. We're going to get new carpet someday. Soon. But guess what? There's going to be bus kids and drive-in kids that have never been in church before, and they might mess up our carpet. Thank God for it. Amen. Thank God for it. Say, well, they shouldn't do that to our new carpet. Guess what? They're going to. And I say, bring them in. Amen. Now, I don't think we ought to go around on purpose trying to mess up the carpet. I think we ought to keep things as clean and neat as we can. But guess what? If I have to choose between dirty carpet and bringing more people in, we're choosing more people, not clean carpet. I'll get you busy cleaning the carpet after we brought more people in. Everybody doing okay? These are the churches that have the clerical robes. This is El Papa. He's got all the fancy clothing and he's got all the fancy jewelry and all of the $500,000 grapefruit on his head. And he lifts himself up as an idol to the people. By the way, we have Baptists that are doing the same thing. You have non-denominationalists that are doing the same thing. The Joel Osteens or Osteens or Holsteins or whatever you call him. Folks, this is the church, you know, these are the churches that they spend hundreds of thousands of dollars for stained glass. I don't have to worry about stained glass. I don't have a window. Say, well, if you buy the building, are you going to put stained glass in the ceiling? Folks, you don't put, the Bible says, you don't put jewels in the ear of a pig. This is a people factory. I'd rather take the hundreds of thousands of dollars they screw around with stained glass and invest it in people's lives and reach more people. Well, you'll attract a different crowd if you have stained glass. They won't know we have stained glass till they walk in. And if they're worried about looking up at the stained glass, they're not listening to the preaching. They need their heart changed more than they need stained glass. Amen. Yes, sir. I'm just going to say it, and I don't care who gets mad at me at this one, but it's going to be a cold day where the booger man lives before we have all the modern technology and the TV screens up here and the giant screens that put up my outline so that you can follow my outline as we preach. We have borrowed that from the neos and the non-denominationalists. Just so you know. You say, is it sinful? No, but it is an instrument of a foolish shepherd.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Everybody doing okay? Say, well, I know pastors who aren't the preaching type. They're the teaching type. They're not the right kind of pastor.
Yes, sir. Right. Amen.
You know what preaching is? Loud teaching.
Amen.
I'll promise you, you get more Bible preaching and Bible theology in 1 week at this church than you will just about any mainline denominational seminary in a whole year.
Yes, sir.
And I know what I'm talking about there. By the way, this church will remain a hospital to the hurting people of this world. The Bible says here, nor heal that is broken. I said something this morning. I had a pastor that sat in my office. And he said, you know, my church is like all churches. I got those people that just don't. I said, hold it. I said, you just gone from talking about sheep to talking about goats, and you're not doing it in my office. I said, you might have a couple goats in there, they're butting heads with you, but I don't have that problem. I said, and I don't, unless you're asking me how to fix the problem, I just don't want to hear about it. That's honestly what I told him. Folks, I can't tell you how excited I am about our church. In the last 7 days, there has not been one day go by in 7 days that somebody hasn't called in, stopped me, and said something like this. I was talking about our church, Brother Bush, and I told somebody it's a hospital. Every day for the last 7 days, a different person in this church made contact with me saying they have made that statement. I don't know if I could be a prouder pastor in America than to hear that statement. Say why? We're getting it. We're getting it. Our job is to heal people that are hurting. Isn't that what the job of the church is all about? Isn't this supposed to be a place where people come to get help and strength and healing? It's not a museum. To the foolish shepherds, it is a place where you hang up all the instruments of a museum. We're not going to take surveys as an excuse to not go soul winning.
Amen.
We're not going to go around and find out who's interested and then go back and visit them with the gospel. No, they're going to get the gospel, like it or lump it.
Amen.
This one's probably going to hair lip somebody, but that's okay. We're not going to start a conference. And I don't plan on taking you all over the country from conference to conference to conference to conference to conference. I had a preacher this week. He said, "Brother, what conferences are you going to?" I said, "That's easy." He said, "Where are you going?" I said, "Sunday school at 9:45, Sunday morning church at 10:45, Sunday night church at 6, and Wednesday night church at 7. I said, "That's all the conferencing I need." He said, "How do you keep yourself encouraged?" I said, "I get with the people of God at the house of God and get to preach the word of God to them." I said, "I don't get depressed." We're not going to have programs and buildings that attract for the sake of money. Now, let me say this. We're going to watch God use us to reach all people. I believe a church that doing what they're supposed to do, the rich people are as welcome as the poor people.
Amen.
And I hate to tell you, some of you that have some means, it's your job because you have the character to make the money. It's also your job to train people that don't have that kind of character yet. Teach them the character so that they can make more money and reach more people. That's God's plan. There's a reason most poor people are poor, because they haven't been taught the character they need to not be poor. Everybody doing okay? We're not going to use the instruments of a foolish shepherd. Are we going to have stained glass? No. We'll make it clean, we'll make it neat, we'll make it comfortable, but we're not having stained glass windows. Say, well, I know a family too. I sat in their living room. They asked me about it. They said, "Oh, we were in churches over in a certain place." And you could just tell God's presence by all the stained glass. I said, that's the only presence they had because they couldn't do it with the power of God because they didn't have the Holy Spirit. They had to fake it. That didn't win friends and influence people either. They haven't been back since. I refuse, number two, to allow our church to be influenced by idol shepherds. Shepherds who lift themselves up as an idol. Listen to me, an idol is anything that puts itself above Christ. Did you hear that?
Yes.
Anything that puts itself above Christ is an idol. The Pope is an idol.
Yes.
Denominationalism is idolatry.
Yes.
Oh, they don't have little wooden statues, but they meet every 3 to 5 years with their councils to decide what doctrines they're going to change. And they change doctrine. Folks, I am the Lord. I change not.
Amen.
I'm preaching the same book that Jesus preached. Preaching the same truths that he preached. Same doctrines that he preached. Oh, you're just so old-fashioned. Thank you very much. I'm going to make a statement here. Be careful what literature you read. It's not time for you to read material written by idol shepherds. When you start reading Joe Holstein, whatever he is, I'm not even sure I'd recognize his face. But when you start reading their material, you start reading their doctrine, you start reading what they are, and you're being influenced by them. I've got people in our church that have come out of what you would call mainline denominations. I've checked with them. Idol shepherds try to bring God down to man. I'm trying to get you up to God. I am tired of preachers that try to bring God down to man. Everybody doing okay? It's not my job to bring God down to you. It's my job to get you close enough to God to go up to him. God didn't ask us to bring him down to us. He asked us to come up where he is. You see, that crowd is the same crowd that says, well, that's the best Bible we have. But it's only inspired in its originals. Well, if it's only inspired in the originals, then Jesus Christ is dead and dead in vain. Because God breathed into man the breath of life. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Listen to this statement. And when Jesus comes back at the end of the rapture, the Bible says written on his vesture is his name, the Word of God. If the inspiration's dead, Jesus is dead. I'm here to tell you, he's alive. I'm tired of people discrediting the Bible to make themselves look intelligent. Idol shepherds teach the Bible as typology.
Yes, sir.
Now listen to this statement real carefully here.
That's good.
They want to tell you that brass is a type of this and gold is a type of this. And that this in the Bible is a type of that and this is a type of that. And you didn't know that because you didn't go to college for you to learn that. And Dr. Messamup taught me that, so that's what that is. God have mercy. I've worked a month to prepare this sermon. I've had to work on my spirit for a month. I put myself through 30 minutes of torture once a week for a month, listening to an idol shepherd. In 4 weeks, 2 hours of wasted time is all I did was get mad. I was preaching at my radio. I was throwing a fit. I had pulled my car off the side of the road one day, and I was screaming and hollering at him. He couldn't hear me, but I was sure having fun. I was going back at him. Rascal's teaching on the book of Song of Solomon. Well, I don't ascribe to the philosophy that this is a picture of the bride and the church and Jesus Christ. There's no way that Solomon could be a picture of Jesus. Solomon had many wives. Jesus doesn't have many wives. Well, I hate to disagree with him, folks. We are the church. We are the bride of Christ. First of all. Second of all, nowhere in the scripture does Jesus say that Solomon is a picture of Jesus. He's got a hole in his head big enough to drive twin Mack trucks. I do know that when the Bible uses pictures, it tells us. If you read the parables, the parable of the sower, he says, now the seed is the word of God. Guess what? That's a type. But nowhere does it say that Solomon is a picture of Jesus. I heard the man say this very thing. I think Solomon's more a picture of the devil than he is Jesus. He was talking about a certain book of the Bible. I heard him say this. Oh, you need to read this book of the Bible as though it's an opera or a drama or a play. And let me teach you who's saying what parts here. That's when I pulled the car off the side of the road and started yelling and hollering. I was sitting in the parking lot of a certain store and I was going at it. Somebody was walking by my car and was going. I pulled up my Bible and went. I was mad. Folks, listen to this statement very carefully. Even if he's right, and he's not. Even if he's right, he has just discredited that book right there. Even if his types aren't all bad, what he has told you is God's not smart enough to tell you what he was thinking. These yard birds are the ones that say, well, Moses says here, Moses didn't say it, God said it. Well, David was in this condition here, and this is what David is saying here. David didn't say it, it was written before David was made. Everybody doing okay? I'm about ready to throw a fit. Say, what were you yelling at that guy? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. The scripture is of no private interpretation. Unless the Bible says this is a picture of this, guess what? It's a stretch in man's mind. Idle shepherds cast doubt on the authority of the Bible. They say that man wrote the Bible. And then they say it's God's words. Don't get mad at me. It's coming. They pervert scripture to make it fit their types. Oh, they make you think they're intelligent because they can have alliterative outlines. And they use their PowerPoint to put it on their TV screens or movie screens or whatever you want to call those stupid screens in their auditoriums. Not all my outlines start with the same letter. But you don't doubt what the Word of God says. Say, well, if you had a little more culture and a little bit more training, I've met enough cultured, trained people that I don't want to be like that. Idle shepherds set themselves above Christ. They say, they tell you, well, you wouldn't know this, but I have studied and I have compared commentaries and these people say, I heard this yard bird say, well, what I have ascribed to, what I heard them say, that came out of the Reformation of the 1500s. I said, what are you getting your doctrine from Catholics for? Amen. Folks, we're not Protestants, we're Baptists. Everybody doing okay? Okay. Number three, and I got to hurry. Idle shepherds pastor museums, not hospitals. By the way, that's why they're going to all the fancy music. They have their, and I'm not against instruments. Okay? Mrs. Lowther this morning played her flute, and Brother Stoltz, he's played his get fiddle and his harmonica and all the other things, and I'm for it. And we've had violins and trumpets and you name it, we've had it. I'm for it. You say, when are you going to start an orchestra? Never. Amen. Say, is it sinful? No. But you get into the highbrow music to attract highbrow people. There's not a bus kid in the world that likes highbrow music. And by the way, I don't think God's too particular about it either. Give me what she just played on that box over there for the offertory.
Amen.
Yeah, buddy, that's good stuff. Amen. You know the words to it. Amen. You're tapping your toe to it. You're singing the words to it, if you weren't talking. By the way, the Bible says that the idle shepherds don't visit those who are cut off. Those are the outcasts. Amen. Well, that person might cause trouble. Good, bring them. Little boy came to church today. He was not having a good day. He was giving a couple of our folks fit, giving his mama fits. I got down in his face to talk to him, and he got in my face with his fist. And he clocked me. Busted my lip on the inside, bruised my cheekbone. Say, did you throw him out of church? Nope. You can ask my wife, you can ask my mom, my dad, my daughter. And I sat at the supper or lunch table this afternoon. I said, I'm going to reach that boy.
Amen.
Now, I wasn't quite like Jesus. I didn't turn the other cheek. Because had I, it would have been sore too. Say, are you mad? Not at all. I look at that boy and say, he needs reached. If I can get him fighting in the right direction, look out, devil. If I can get him harnessed to point that thing the right direction, I feel sorry for the devil, amen? Now, right now, the devil's winning, but we're going to try to turn it around. Say, oh, I can't believe that. What? Are you ever going to let him come back? If I can get him through that door, yes, I will. I'm going to watch my face next time. I might not get down in his face that way again without at least... Wait a minute. That means we're going to reach people that have done wrong things in their life. You're going to reach sinners? Yeah, buddy, because that's all God has to choose from. Because we're all sinners. They stopped going after children. Church after church after church after church after church after church is stopping going after children. We don't have buses yet. Got a van. Run it Sunday morning. Got a van. We run it Sunday night. We're reaching as many as we can right now. Guess what? Someday we'll have them.
Amen.
Not ready for it yet. But when we are, we're going to run it. I love what Brother Hiles used to preach. He had the millionaires tell him, it's either going to be those bus kids or it's going to be us. He said, I'll take the bus kids.
Amen.
Guess he did okay, huh? Their churches don't heal broken people. They are hotbeds of bitterness and evil.
Yes,
I want you to notice something. Verse number 16, it says this, nor feed that standeth still. Huh. That's the weak people. When an animal's too weak to go, it just stands. I've watched many of wounded animals, and they don't go very far, and they'll just stand there. They'll find a safe place to stand to rest because they can't go very far. Bring them in.
Amen.
Bring them in. Let's just keep bringing them in. Say, well, we don't have a bus. How can we do it? You got a car. You go pick them up. I got people waiting to come back to church on Sunday night. They're just wanting somebody to come pick them up. How about you? These are the pastors who eat up or use up people and criticize them when they can't do any more. I am so sick and tired of preachers talking bad about their people. Makes me want to vomit. I want to say puke. Not a nice word, but that's what it makes me want to do. Folks, you pay your tithes. Why should I criticize you? Say, well, you don't always agree with me and I don't always agree with you. That's fine. There's sometimes I don't agree with me. And there's times you don't agree with you. You doing okay?
Amen.
Why would I criticize you? I know pastors who use up their people. Their church members only last about 18 months, and then they're gone. Say, why? Because they feel used and abused. They've taken everything from them, and then as they walk out the doors, they start criticizing them because they won't get more. I said it before, I'll say it again. We're not having a give it all Sunday. I'm never going to ask you to come give every bit of your paycheck for a week. Say why? Because I won't abuse the flock to get what I want. Say, what are you going to do? I'm going to get on my face before God and ask God to give us what we need. And if we need something that bad, he'll provide it a different way. I'm just telling you the truth. They want to be able to go on vacations, but criticize you if you want to miss a Sunday for vacation. I'm not that kind of guy. I don't believe that's the way it ought to be. I don't think you ought to be on vacation every week either. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about? I think if you get a couple weeks vacation, great. I think you ought to miss as few services as you need to miss. But there's nothing wrong with going on vacation. There's one thing about going on vacation. You'll thank God for what you have when you get home. Amen. I promise you that. They want you to give all of your money, but what are they giving? Hang in there. They want the biggest house, the nicest, fanciest car, the best things, and if you have it, it's sinful. You take these denominational Baptist preachers. I heard one of these yard birds say, it is sinful for Christians to have money. They ought to give it to the church. Guess what? They're dead wrong. Now, if you love your money more than you love God, that's wrong. I don't care if you have a dollar or a million. It doesn't say how much money you have to love to be evil. It says the love of money is the root of evil. It doesn't have an amount there. Amen. Did you catch that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I got to quit. These are the people who let their Bible colleges go down to the world. Now, if you weren't mad before, you'll probably get mad now. These are the pastors who want to go to their fellowships with other churches. The BBF was started in the 1920s, 30s, somewhere in that little range right there. Got organized heavy into the 40s and 50s. The church in Springfield, Missouri, Baptist Bible College, Springfield, Missouri, was started by the BBF. Not by a local church, by a group of churches. I looked online this week, went to their website. I showed my secretary, because I couldn't believe it. I was appalled. In all of their photographs, there wasn't one lady that had a dress or a skirt on. All of them wearing breeches or shorts. Every last one of them. Their tour groups are their rock bands. Baptist Bible College, Springfield, Missouri. Now, this is where some of you might get mad at me. Tennessee Temple University. Go to their website and look at all the women wearing breeches. Go to their doctrinal statement and look at their doctrinal statement, and it says, we follow the doctrinal statement of the Southern Baptist Convention. The last 15 years Dr. Robertson was alive, he wasn't even allowed to preach in his own Bible college. These are the places that we run to and the people that were trained by them. I call that idol shepherds. I'm talking about the non-denominational Bible colleges. And I'm not saying all these places are sinful, but when we're getting our doctrine from them, it is. I'm talking about the Pensacola Christian colleges.
Yes, sir.
Brother Hiles affectionately called it Pepsi-Cola. They are They are not following Bible doctrine. They don't even have a church. They have campus church. And their girls are allowed to wear pants and shorts on campus in public. And they have to wear modest bathing suits to go to the beach. Look online. Am I lying? I'm talking about, I'm talking about the California-style Christianity. Yes. Now, folks, I did a tour duty in California as a Baptist preacher. I do know what I'm talking about. And some of our fundamental Baptists are sending people to colleges of people that I ended up fighting and preaching against while I was out there. And we have brought them into our mainline fundamental circles thinking they're God's gift to mankind in America. And I'm telling you something, I've known them for 25 years and they're not what you think they are. I can give you names. I won't. These are the same people that criticized Brother Hiles. Same people that criticized soul winning. Same people that criticized, and they're yoking up with people that are not like us, and we're sending our kids there? I'm just telling you the truth. Say why? Because I owe it to our church to set the standard where it's supposed to be. And listen to this statement very carefully. I heard the great Dr. Jack Hiles make a very, very similar statement, just different names. I'd rather you go to Shepherd University and stay in a red-hot, independent, fundamental, soul-winning Baptist church and get your education than to trot off to one of these idle shepherd colleges. Amen. I'm not a big proponent of secular education. But just so you know, not everybody's been called to go to Bible college. But if you're going to go into the secular education, you better get under the administration of a red-hot Baptist and let him tear your flesh off every once in a while. You're safer there because at least you know what they're teaching there. These other places are wolves in sheep's clothing. They make you think you're spiritual. Oh, by the way, Jerry Falwell was trained at BBC. Is it any wonder Lynchburg is the way it is now? You're calling names. Yeah, I am. I'm not afraid of it. So you're pretty arrogant. No, I've just been around the block enough that it's my job to warn you about idle shepherds. And I'll finish with this statement. I will close. We all have friends. We have to be careful how much we let our friends influence us by their idle shepherd churches. Oh, it was so wonderful. My mind is so stimulated. How many people have you won to Christ? I don't care how much your mind gets stimulated. Stick your finger in the light socket, you can stimulate your brain. It'll make it do things you never thought it could do. Good night. We are so enamored with our own brain that we think somebody, because they talk big words and speak over us. By the way, those are the very people that will call somebody like me shallow. Bring it on. We'll just go out and do it God's way. By the way, they said that about Jesus, just so you know. They called the disciples ignorant and unlearned men. When's the last time you had 3,000 people saved in one day? Woe to the idle shepherds. I hope in about 60 or 70 years, when all of us middle-aged codgers are dead and gone, this church is still preaching just like this.
Amen.
That's what this sermon's for. It doesn't have to go the way of the world. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who are you reading? Who are you listening to? What sermons are you listening to? Who are you enamored with? Are you listening to idle shepherds? Are we enamored with the instruments of foolish shepherds? Or are we just going to flat out do it God's way?